January 1st, 1863, Abraham Lincoln issued an executive order known as the Emancipation Proclamation. It legally freed 3.1 million slaves. For those who rebelled against President Lincoln's decree, the Union Army advanced city by city and state by state, enforcing the new law of the land. Lincoln's decree advanced faster than the Union Army did. So it left Washington, D.C., it went across Virginia, it went through all of the Carolinas, it went to Georgia, it went across Alabama. And what historians write, the great majority of the slaves went right on living as if they were not emancipated. The newspapers of every major newspaper at that time, the headlines read, "Slavery legally abolished." But when they did a follow-up story a year and 2 years later, they found that so many of the slaves who were legally free were still living the exact same way before they received their freedom. And when I read that story and heard that story, I thought of Christians. There are so many Christians that live bound and captive to sin. And Jesus, 2,000 years ago on the cross, he died to save you from your sins. That is so that you can go to heaven. But Jesus died to set you free from sin so that no sin can keep you held captive and can hold you hostage. And just as the slaves in 1860 didn't live up to the Emancipation Proclamation, so many Christians do not live up to, and that's what Romans 6 is all about. Romans 6 has been described as the Emancipation Proclamation of the Bible. So in Romans 6, three times in this chapter, verse 17, verse 18, verse 22, we read the words, "Set free from sin." So today I want to encourage you. Today I want to motivate you. Today I want to challenge you. Whatever the sin is that so easily besets you, you can walk out of these doors today liberated and free because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Three truths that can revolutionize your life. Sermon I've entitled, "Free at Last." The first truth, now look at Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. What you need to know. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Four times in this chapter, Paul talks about what we should know. You can't do what's right until you know what's right and what's wrong. Here's the truth. Get your hanky out and wave it. Jesus didn't come to die just to save you from hell. He did. Jesus also came to save you from your sin. So if you are here today and you are struggling with any addiction, if you are struggling with any vice, if there's something that has your chain, and if things don't go your way, you just fall trap to that sin. I have good news. I have great news. I have wonderful news. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary so that you can be free from every sin known to man. When Jesus died for your sin, he gave you the power to defeat every sin. So if you struggle with alcohol, some of you, if you struggle with nicotine and you just dip and you say, "I can't give up that nicotine," by Jesus, you can. had a husband come the other day and said, "Preacher, my wife can make a sailor blush with her cussing. Ma'am, you can get freedom for your tongue." Guys, don't hit your wife right now. That's not the time. You can know freedom from your anger. Some of you struggle with lust. And when nobody's around, on your phone, you're looking at stuff that you know God does not approve of. Hey, you do not have to be held captive. You can be liberated. That's what it's talking about. Look at verse 3. Freedom begins with knowing the truth. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. So when Christ died, all of your sins, and it was, he died 2,000 years ago, every sin that you will ever commit were transferred by God onto Christ. Your sins, every one of them, were nailed to the cross of Christ. Your sins, literally, they breathed their last breath on the cross of Christ. Your sins, they were defeated that day at Calvary on the cross of Christ. Your anger, your bitterness, your lust, whatever it is, Christ on the cross defeated your sin. When Christ, the third day, when he rose up from the grave, he came out of that grave victorious. And he left your sins in that grave defeated. Woo! So that you can have victory over every sin known to man. Nothing, even your dip, nothing has to hold you captive. Did you get me? You say, "Well, I've tried to give it up. I just can't." Christ can through you. You got to know the truth. That's what he's saying here. The phrase "in Christ" is used 120 times in the New Testament. When Christ died, vicariously, you died with him. It's one of the ways we are called Christians in the early church. We are in Christ. Now, God is so concerned that we get this truth. He gave us a visible demonstration that is the first thing we are to do as Christians. Baptism. Look at the verse. "Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death." So the first thing you do as a believer is you are identified with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. "Therefore, in light of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Newsflash, Jesus did not struggle with alcohol. Newsflash, he didn't struggle with nicotine. Newsflash, he never made a sailor blush over his cussing. Hey! Jesus had power over sin, and when he rose from the dead, if you're a believer, you have that same power. That's what he said. Look at verse 5. "For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness," woo, "of his resurrection." Jesus came up in his glorified body. He had defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he had defeated sin. Now, Paul, he kind of wraps up this session. He says, hey, there's two things not to miss. Look at verse 6. "Knowing this, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. So what he wants you to know, you're dead to sin. Ever seen a corpse lying in here in front of this pulpit? They're dead. They don't smell. They don't have a lust problem with their eyes. They don't listen to junk with their ears. They don't struggle, oh, I gotta have some more circus peanuts or Little Debbie's. No, they're dead. That's what he's saying. Body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now look at verse 7. For he that is dead is free from sin. That's you, sir. Anger, you can be free from it. That's you. You can be free from lust. You can be free from any addiction because Christ died on the cross. If you have accepted him as your Savior, he defeated sin for you. And you were with him on the cross. So you need, number one, to know that truth. Number two, it's not enough just to know that truth intellectually. You got to believe that truth personally. Because, hey, it's not just in the Bible. It's not just for all those people in the world. It's for me. It's for my addictions. It's for my struggles. It's for the stuff that I'm going through right now in my life. Look down at verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word reckon, if you write in your Bible, circle that word reckon. It's a counting word. It's to put to one's account. It's to reckon it as true or to reckon it as so. Let's say that I was to walk down here and walk up to Randy Brady and I was to write him a check. Randall Brady, $1,000. You're welcome. It would be a better answer. $1,000, had somebody come up to me at the other church this morning when the preacher says, hey, can I get on that $1,000 deal? Sign it. I give him the check. He can look at the check. He can hold on to the check. It's not doing him any good till he says, I believe Neil Jackson is good for $1,000. That's why it's not for anymore. And he goes to the bank and says, hey, will you deposit this to my account? That's what you have to do. Whatever your struggle is. And don't be distracted by the clothes. All of us have struggles. And if we know Christ as our Savior, we can defeat any struggle through Christ. You reckon it. And so you say, well, I don't feel like I'm dead to sin. We're not talking about feelings. We're talking about facts. Feelings are liars. Feelings are going to lie to you and tell you something that is not true. You say, well, if I'm dead to sin, why am I still being tempted by sin? Because sin's not dead. Sin's out there alive and well as a roaring lion walk about seeing who he made of hire. But you don't have to give in to it. Let me give you an example. I have zero temptation, zero, or probably negative 10 temptation to broccoli. So you put me in a room, pack broccoli all around me. I ain't tempted. I'm not touching it. I don't want to smell it because I'm not. Now, if you put me in a room with Little Debbie's, it's a different style of story. Hey, you're free. You're free. When you struggle with doubt, when you struggle with fear, when you struggle with temptation, you got to reckon God's word as so. Not my doubts. Well, you've never been able to defeat that lust. You won't. No, no, no. I reckon this word, it doesn't just apply to everybody else at church. It applies to me. That I am free from sin. So Satan, oh boy, you've had me long enough. No more. I'm not cussing anymore through Christ who gives me strength. And you can defeat it. Everybody heard somebody say, you just need to crucify yourself. Problem with that is you can't. How do you crucify yourself? I mean, you climb up there on that cross and you get a hammer and you nail this hand up there. Well, then you don't have another hand to nail your other hand and your feet. You can't. The scripture never tells you to crucify yourself. The Bible says it's already been done. Past tense. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me. I reckon it as so. I believe it as so. Christ not only died for me, I died with Christ. So therefore, when he died for my sin, he defeated all of my sin, so I can be victorious over any sin that comes into my life. Little boy came out of his house, and his daddy had just wrung the neck of a chicken. And that chicken was running around crazy. And the little boy said, Daddy, what are you doing? He said, I just wrung the neck of that chicken and it's dead. The boy looked at that chicken running around and says, Daddy, that chicken doesn't believe it's dead. And I'm here to say to you, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus defeated sin. So there is no sin that can and should have control over you. But do you believe that? Number one, there's some things you got to know. Number two, if you're going to be victorious, and I don't care if it's, you say, I'm addicted to this, whatever it is, you can, by the authority of God Almighty, you can walk out those doors free and liberated today. You got to know. You got to believe. Number three, what you need to practice. Look at verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign or control your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So first thing is, you know it. God said it. Secondly, I believe it. God didn't just say it for everybody out there. God said it for me and my anger. God said it for me and my cussing. God said it for me and my whatever. God said it for me and my addiction. I believe it. But somebody's got to be the sheriff. You, that shows I'm going to practice it. So therefore, Satan, I'm evicting you. You're no longer going to be the slave master that's going to pull my chain and tell me what I have to bow down to. No, Satan, get out of my house. Look at verse 13. That ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. The word yield is mentioned five times in this passage. It means to surrender or to present yourself as a sacrifice. Every part of your body is to be surrendered as an instrument of righteousness. Instrument is a tool or a weapon. Your body is a tool or a weapon to be used to build God's kingdom and expand God's kingdom, or to hurt God's kingdom. Your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your hands, your feet are tools. They are instruments to either help God's work or your mouth, or your eyes, or your ears, or your hands, they're going to hurt God's work. Look what it says. Don't let sin reign in your body. You know whose responsibility is? Yours. You say, enough is enough. And you cut off the television if you have to. Seriously, had a guy come to my office this week. I was like, what's your cell phone? I don't have a cell phone. He said, I don't want all that stuff, and I struggle with that stuff. I don't want all that stuff coming into my mind, so I don't have a cell phone. I was like, I commend you. How am I supposed to get a hold of you? Hey, whatever it is, it would be better for you not to have a cell phone than to struggle with all of the junk that's going to come through your cell phone. You can't look at pornography and let your eyes be used as an instrument of righteousness. You can't speak profanity and let your tongue, God, this is your tongue. You be glorified in everything that I say. You can't listen to filth and say, God, these are your ears. You be pleased with what's going on in them. Read a headline from the news a couple weeks ago. This is what the headline said. Florida man mauled by his pet cougar. And I'm like, pet cougar? Read it. Here's what it said. Man bought a pet cougar as a baby. Named the pet cougar Fluffy. Fluffy, what an awful name for any animal. Fluffy grew, and one day the guy was in the floor playing with his pet cougar Fluffy, and Fluffy snapped and ripped his face off. I read it. Pardon me for being so blunt. I'm like, you stupid idiot. Don't be playing with cougars. It's their nature to rip your face off and kill you and laugh about it. Why are you making them your pets? And I would say the same thing is true with alcohol. Or pornography. Don't let sin reign in your body. Who's going to be the law enforcement and say, not happening here? Our home. My mom, when she would get off the school bus every day as a child, most of the time her parents would be passed out in the yard from alcohol. She made a decision. I'm never touching alcohol, and that won't be classified in my home. So she put the terror of God into my brother and I, that if we ever looked at alcohol, if we ever smelled alcohol, if we ever tasted alcohol, she said, I'll find you, I'll hunt you down, and I will beat you within an inch of your life. I'm 53 years old. God is my witness. I've never smelled it, and I've never drank it. You say, why? I'm afraid of my mother. Look what it says. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. She took it further than that. She said, in this thing, it's wrecked my home. I'm not going to let it wreck my home now. So my kids are never going to touch it, and I'm going to so press it upon them, they don't even look at it or smell it. That has to be. You know the truth. Jesus died on the cross, defeated sin. I believe it. It applies to me. And then you just said, not here, not now, because Jesus rose from the dead. I can be victorious over any addiction, no matter what it is. Look at verse 13 one more time. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't miss the last part of the verse. But yield, submit yourselves unto God. As those that are alive from the dead. Think about those that are alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Lazarus, alive from the dead. Jesus, alive from the dead. You, raised to walk in newness of life every day. God, here's my eyes. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes, and I'm walking in the liberty that Christ won for me on the cross. God, here's my ears. They're your ears. I'm submitting to them as instruments of righteousness, and therefore no filth is going into my ears. God, here's my mind. Some of you just, you kept hitting replay all day long, contemplating gross filth. Say, God, this mind belongs to you, and I just pray that you will purify it. I pray that you will cleanse it. I pray that you will wash it by the water of your blood and cleanse my mind. It's yours. Help me think on things that are pure and holy and righteous and lovely and of good report. Listen, you can have a pure mind. You don't have to think impure thoughts all day long. Guys, don't put up the next slide yet. 150 years ago, a guy by the name of William Hamilton Merritt dreamed of building a bridge across Niagara Falls. But his thought was, how do I do it? So he had a contest, publicized the contest for everybody to come out and fly a kite across the competition for kite across the falls and lay the string on the other side. It was the first day, nobody was successful. Second day, a kid by the name of Homan Wash won the contest, and he got the kite across and laid the string down on the other side. And they captured it on the other side. Here's what they did. And his thought was, I want to build a bridge across Niagara Falls. 150 years ago. They took the string and they tied a cord to it. And they pulled the cord back across Niagara Falls. Next day, they took a heavier cord, and they pulled the heavier cord back across. The next day, they took a rope, tied it to the cord, and pulled it back across. The next day, they took a chain, tied it to the rope, and pulled the chain back across. The next day, they took a thick cable wire, and they just kept going back and forth and back and forth. Now you can put up the picture. And eventually, they built a platform, and that's what they got. Now listen, some of you have built up strongholds of unrighteousness. Preacher, I'm addicted. Preacher, I am a slave to sin. How do I get victory? You got to know that when Jesus died on the cross, he died so that you don't go to hell. But Jesus died to defeat your sin. You got to know that. And you got to believe that it applies to you. So listen. Every person in this auditorium, balcony, main floor, struggles with sin. Start right there with Alton Riley. He may look good in his coat. He struggles with sin. And I know you think his sweet wife is perfect. She's almost perfect. And then my wife, I live with, she ain't perfect. Miss Rhonda, everybody says, oh, she's not. All of us struggle with sin. Listen. You can have victory over sin in your life. You got to know the truth. Jesus died to defeat your sin. You say, Jesus, I'm claiming it for my anger. I'm claiming it for my cussing. I'm claiming it for my lustful thoughts. Whatever your addiction is, I don't care how you're dressed. Whatever your addiction, I'm claiming it. And then, hey, I'm going to put it into force. I will not allow sin to reign in this body. Oh, will you fall down? You probably will. And what do? You get back up. You pull the string across. And then the next time you get back up and you pull the rope across. And then you pull the chain across. And then you pull the metal wire across. And what is your greatest weakness will become a strength in your life. Through Christ. Christ died on the cross so that you can be more than conquerors, not through your flesh, through Him who loved you. Amen.